compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Okay, there's a whole hour to go, and I'm going to get to your phone calls. But there are a few other things that are going on I want to share with you before that. Please keep in mind that everything that I talk about by way of an article, book recommendation, video, etc., you can check it all out. You don't have to take my word for anything. You can read it for yourself. And Cyrus posts the links to these articles on the show Twitter feed, which is at @PMadridShow. Follow us on Twitter if you're on Twitter. Or you can get everything by going to the show page, which is relevantradio.com/Patrick. So a few quick things I want to get to, because I want you to know about it, because as Cyrus and I were discussing earlier in the program today, I think in the first hour, think about what it was like 2 years ago, or a little bit more, even just exactly 2 years ago, January of 2020. We had been hearing for a couple of months about this weird virus. You know, the Wuhan virus, as CNN loved to call it. CNN and the New York Times and all of the, you know, the left-wing media, they were all calling it the Chinese virus, the China virus, the Wuhan virus. Then when they decided that, oops, we can't call it that anymore for political reasons, then, of course, they stomped on anybody who said what they had been saying. But in any case, remember what it was like when we were hearing all these like reports coming out of China that they're just locking down cities. What does that mean, locking down a city? What does that mean? People not being able to go places or do things, that are not able to intermingle the way we once used to, if you remember the olden days, not that long ago. And it was just distant, and it wasn't real for you and for me in these United States in mid-January of 2020. And it was kind of reminds me in some ways of the Boxing Day tsunami that took place in 2011. Remember that big earthquake off the coast of northeastern Japan? And the you remember the tidal wave there? Well, this one was even worse. This goes back years before that. As bad as the one in Japan was, this one devastated a far wider area, killed far more people. I think it was in the neighborhood of 250,000 people were killed primarily by the tsunami. And the weird thing about that, it's the same is true for the Japanese one as well. The one near Sendai, and that was the one in 2011. If you go back and look at the videos of this, and they're all on YouTube, very instructive, because you'll see, Cyrus, you've seen these videos, right? You'll see people, they're on the beach, just like bebopping around, and they see that all the water has gone out, and you know, you never see that, do you? And all the water has just drained away from the beach, and it's all way out there in the ocean. And they can see a wave out there, but they don't realize what that means. I guess the people who had some clue about what that all meant. By the way, if you're ever on the beach and all the water just drains away toward the horizon, get running as fast as you can. Get up as high as you can. Climb that hill or get up in that tall building. Whatever you can do, get up high. Because that means there's a tsunami coming. Because that water is draining away because it's being sucked into this giant wave that's going to come back in your direction. So some people who put two and two together, they were able to get clear. Not too many of them. Most of the people who died, they died because although they saw it coming, they didn't understand what it meant. So you can see on these videos. So in the case of the Southeast Asia tsunami, people are still playing on the beach as this wave is coming in. And they didn't realize that that wave was like rolling concrete. There was nothing that was going to stop it, not even buildings. It just destroyed everything in its path and just kept going and going. So if you're walking along, you're not going to body surf that wave. You're done. And to see people, maybe in just the twinkling of an eye, go from having a sun-filled, carefree vacation in a tropical resort one moment, the next moment realizing, oh my gosh, I'm about to die. Just an astonishing thing to think about. And we're talking about many, many people who went through this. And similarly in Japan, you look at the videos of the people, they're in their cars, they're walking across bridges, they're walking on sidewalks. They see, or they're not entirely sure what they see. They heard the tsunami sirens going off, and as this tsunami rolls in, it very steadily destroys the buildings and carries them away and the people and everything. But there are people who, at the very last minute, they didn't really realize what was happening until, boom, they're gone. So you may say, all right, why are you saying this? Here's why. Because this COVID thing is like that in a way. 2 years ago, we were like those people on the beach. And life was normal. And you could go to the grocery store and buy whatever you wanted. Shortage of toilet paper? What are you talking about? Can't get hand sanitizer? What are you talking about? It was unthinkable that in this country that we, with all of the amenities and all of the infrastructure and all of the first world capabilities that we've got, it was unthinkable that things could happen and fall apart so quickly. The very thought of our churches closing and suddenly now you're no longer able to receive the sacraments. And then you have to wear a mask, and then you have to socially distance, and then you have to get shots, and then you have to do all these other things. It was unthinkable, and we had never, at least not in living memory anyway, unless you were alive during the time of the Spanish flu in 1918, chances are you weren't. There was nothing in your personal context to compare that to. So what happened was we sort of sleepwalked into what suddenly overtook us like a tsunami in the early months of 2020. And look at today, things are still discombobulated. We're still, in ways that we didn't even begin to imagine then, we're dealing with this in these ways now. So California, for example, Yahoo's got a lengthy story about how the hospitals are overwhelmed now with people who are going in because of the Omicron variant of COVID. And they've reached the point now where they're telling the emergency room doctors and nurses and other healthcare workers, not just in the emergency rooms, even if you have COVID, come to work. Stay on the job. So if you test positive for COVID, we still need you here because so many people are sick and they're unable to work, or they won't work. Who knows what that is? We have the CEO of JP Morgan Chase. His name is Jamie Dimon. No, maybe I'm mispronouncing it. D-I-M-O-N. Dimon. I'm sure he probably doesn't say demon. So Dimon, let's say. He's just announced a couple days ago that he's going to fire everybody in the organization who hasn't been vaccinated. This is everybody. To go to the office, you have to be vaxxed. And if you aren't going to get vaxxed, you won't be able to work out of the office. And we're not going to pay you to not work in the office. So if you've gotten used to Zooming, if you've gotten used to working from home, they've stopped that. And they're saying now, you got to work in the office, but you can't work in the office unless you're vaxxed. So there's a huge swath of people, pretty big company, JP Morgan Chase. I'd say that's pretty big. And a lot of these people are facing losing their jobs. Now, many of them will get vaccinated. Some of them won't. That's their choice, I guess, at the moment. But the fact is, can you imagine anything like that having happened 2 years ago? The airlines. Every single day now, it's a news story that the airlines can't staff their scheduled flights because of the ramp workers who are sick and the pilots and the flight attendants and all the other people that go to make this big machine called an airline, not to mention the airports work. It's so disrupted. Here's another story, and I'll leave it at this, but I want to share this with you. This is from CNBC. Headline, Omicron disrupts transit emergency services as workers call out sick. Most people are going to get COVID. This is the new statement. Now, this, by the way, is from the Food and Drug Administration's acting commissioner, Dr. Janet Woodcock. She said this to Congress last week. The nation needs to ensure that police, hospital, and transportation services don't break down as the unprecedented wave of Omicron infections across the country forces people to call out sick. It's hard to process what's actually happening right now, she said, which is that most people are going to get COVID. What we need to do is to make sure that hospitals can still function, transportation and other essential services are not disrupted while this happens. Now, you really need to read this article because it talks about EMTs, firefighters, police, nurses, doctors, gets into things like grocery stores, food supply. Just about any important sector of daily life is being suddenly, or seemingly suddenly, and very abruptly and very harshly affected by what's going on right now. So here we're seeing, at the highest level, we're seeing people talking about a disruption of basic services. So the reason I'm telling you this, you may say, okay, why are you telling me? Here's why I'm telling you this. I don't want you to be like that person on the beach when the tsunami rolled in. I don't want you to be that person standing on the beach wondering, where did all the water go? And oh yeah, look at that wave out there. Huh. I don't want you to be the person who is just looking all this and not making sense out of it and not seeing, you know, maybe there's a bigger picture here, kind of like what we didn't see 2 years ago in January of 2020. We didn't see the churches slamming their doors shut. Their doors shut. We didn't see the possibility. It never entered our minds. Hey, guess what? You're not going to be able to even go to Mass or have your children baptized. Or if you or a loved one is dying in a rest home or a hospital, the priests are not going to be allowed to come in and give them the last rites. That was unthinkable 2 years ago. And it happened. And many other things like it are happening. Many other things that pertain to this are happening. So from time to time, when I tell you about supply chain shortages, grocery store shortages, problems such as the ones that I've alluded to just now, the reason behind it is I don't want you to be like that person standing on the beach getting overrun by the wave if there's time for you to get to higher ground. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm not saying go live in a compound out in the wilderness. I'm not saying that. I don't do that. But in simple ways, simple basic ways, get your life in order. Get your spiritual life in order. If you haven't been to confession a long time, go to confession. Get your spiritual house in order. Prepare even just at that level. You know, if there's rough water ahead, more rough water that may be. If there's more rough water ahead, okay, prepare yourself spiritually for that. Fill in the leaks. Batten the hatches, not because you're fearful, but because circumstances are grim and they may get more grim. If you were in Dallas a year ago before the terrible ice storm shut down the power grid, and if you lived in Dallas, maybe you're listening to me right now from Dallas, and you lived through that nightmare where you couldn't even heat your house for days on end, much less go to the grocery store and get some food for your family, and maybe you didn't have water for a stretch of time, don't you wish you had maybe a week's warning before that happened so you could have? I'll bet you do. Maybe get a few of those, prefab fire logs for the fireplace so you have a little bit of heat in the house, or get one of those, you know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about. So at a spiritual level, sure. At a food level, put some extra aside. I'm not saying hoard, but put some extra aside and be prudent. And do what Jesus said, to watch the signs of the times and to watch and pray. And it's for that reason. If you've ever wondered, gee, this is a Catholic program, why does he talk about this from time to time? That's why. So that we can look back on it a year or two from now and say, oh boy, aren't you glad you prepared? Now, maybe we'll look back a year or two from now and everything got back to normal, say, ha ha, false alarm. The boy who cried wolf, no big deal, everything's great. And I'll laugh right along with you. And we'll all have a big laugh together and we'll toast how much better things got. Maybe. But then again, maybe not. So be prepared. Boy Scouts motto, right? Be prepared. Let's take a break. We'll come right back to your phone calls. I promise you that. Straight to the phone calls right after this. The number to dial is 888-914-9149.
Real life solutions you can believe in. The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Oh,
yeah. Love it. There's always time for Beatles. 888-914-9149. Jose in San Benito, Texas. You are on the air, sir. Welcome.
Hey, Patrick. I just want to let you know that I live in Texas, so I went to the winter storm.
Oh, the ice storm. What was that like? Yes.
Oh, horrible. I didn't have electricity for almost a week.
Oh, my. And, did you have enough food and water in your house?
Thank God we did, you know. So my mom, she's Mexican. I'm Mexican-American. So she makes me go across the border to buy some natural gas because it's cheaper over there.
Oh.
So we did have some warm food, you know. We got to start working.
Good.
Yes, it was something. And, you know, with the virus, we all have been affected by the virus, but sadly, I just got infected after 2 years. So I can tell you, you know, this past 2 years has been quite difficult for us as well. You know, everybody, the whole world. I just don't think we're going back to normal. I think we're going to be in a place in which we have to get used to these changes. And that'll be the new normal.
Mm-hmm. And I hate that phrase, the new normal. I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah.
What we thought of as normal is gone. And it may never come back.
Chances are it won't, you know. And that's normal. That's life, you know. Life then came back to normal after World War II or, you know, the Spanish flu. It was different.
There are definitely some distinctives that things that were not present, let's say, during the Spanish flu pandemic. I agree with you. They did tell people to wear masks. They did many of the same kind of public health measures that we are complaining about now. They did that in 1918 as well. So sometimes history repeats itself. But, of course, there was no social media. There were no airlines. There was no internet. So the world was so different in those days that it seems to me that the ways in which our society and some of the basic building blocks of our society are breaking down, those didn't even exist in those days, so the people didn't rely upon them. And, you know, there was no power grid in 1918. You had whatever energy might be created locally, but there was nothing like what we have today. So what I find interesting, Jose, is that I think any generation of people, they're going to make do. They're going to rise to the occasion. But preparation and foresight and planning will make that easier than if you're just bebopping along, not really paying attention. Suddenly, whammo, you know, and then you've got to try to survive that or help other people. It's much more difficult, as you went through, right, with the ice storm.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
We have to help each other and encourage each other. Yeah, go ahead, Jose.
One of the things that I wish I had done, and, you know, I hate this because I was thinking for months, is, you know, going to confession. I can't go to confession right now because I have the virus. But, man, should have gone on time, you know. And, you know, thank God I have mild symptoms. So thank God for that. But still, It's never a bad idea to be ready, you know, to live.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at Bob Saget. Now, I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate. You know who he is, right? The comic who just died. They found him dead in his hotel room a couple days ago.
Yes.
All right. He was famous, I think, primarily for his work on, what was it, Cyrus Full House? Was that the name of the program where he's like the stepdad?
Yeah,
or the
that's
dad?
The one. And then America's Funniest Videos.
America's Funniest Videos. Yeah. So he had a run of, you know, really popular programs. And he had tweeted the night before. He had done a show, you know, sold out audience, and he was doing the comedy circuit, apparently very successful. And he went back to his hotel room and he died suddenly. You know, he was only 65 years old. He had been vaxxed up to the hilt. Now, some people are saying, well, did that have anything to do with it? Nothing's been said. I have no idea. But whether it did or it didn't, he was not expecting to die in his hotel room that night. He appeared to be in good health. He was at the top of his game, making tons of money.
He was excited about touring. He just started a new comedy show. He had just texted his wife and his daughter, and it was all normal. And, hey, love you. I had a great night tonight. I'm loving doing this comedy again. He was on top of the world.
On top of the world. Yeah, he had the world at his feet. And I guess I'm saying this in response to your point, Jose, and that is, look at him. I'll bet you he did not go to sleep that evening expecting to wake up in eternity. And yet he did. So your point is a really, really good point to always be ready, right?
Yes, indeed. Patrick, thank you very much. I hope you feel better soon as well.
Thank you. I must tell you, in all honesty, I feel completely fine. I feel good. My voice doesn't reflect that, however. So I apologize for that. But it's getting better all the time. Let's see. Thank you, Jose. Let's go to Angela in Minneapolis. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Patrick. The logic to me is not making sense.
Okay.
We're filled, like the hospitals are overwhelmed, apparently. But yet the people who have been unvaccinated have been fired. And now we can allow medical staff who have been vaccinated back
to continue working.
Right. So the logic there, I mean, for two years I've been unvaccinated. I have not gotten COVID. Mm-hmm. I take a lot of precautions with viral things and stuff like that. But now the hospital is more dangerous than any place else if you follow their logic. Why are we keeping our kids out of school for 10 days? And yet the healthcare worker, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And I don't understand why. I think a lot of these shutdowns and a lot of the airplanes that aren't working and things like that, or, you know, that we don't have the people, is a lot of it because a lot of people who chose to be unvaccinated have been fired. I had to leave a position because I chose not to be vaccinated for personal reasons and health reasons. Mm-hmm. And now they're having problems trying to fill that position. So the logic doesn't add up to me.
I would agree with you.
You give any insight? Okay.
Well, I share your perplexity at this whole thing because of what you just said. I mean, somebody sent me a little, I don't know if you call it an infographic, but they sent me an image a few days ago. Call me crazy, but if I had 3 smallpox shots in 9 months and I still got smallpox, I'd have some questions. So that ties into this as well. All of the tub thumping and all of the hooping and hollering about how, you know, just get vaccinated and everything's going to be great. And now we know that that's not true.
Right.
So it plays into maybe the hesitancy on the part of some people who are saying, well, then if I'm still going to get it and I'm still going to go to the hospital for it, or if I'm still going to transmit it, then what's the point of getting it? And, you know, far be it for me to try to adjudicate scientific matters because I'm not a scientist. I try to listen to them.
Right.
But I could understand why the average person who doesn't have a scientific background is perplexed because it doesn't add up.
Well, and right. And if we're you know, needing to bring in National Guard and things like that for hospitals because we don't have enough staff, why not bring those people back who are, you know, so qualified in their positions?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wonder, let me share with you a hypothesis.
Sure.
I won't say this is my theory because I don't know if this is, you know, could be completely ridiculous. But one hypothesis that could explain it is that, yeah, we do have a pandemic. Hopefully soon it becomes endemic, in which case everybody gets it and, it, you know, it's no longer a pandemic. But in the meantime, some of these strange decisions, like where everybody gets fired if you don't get this vaccine. Well, why do I need the vaccine? So that you can stay safe from the unvaccinated people. All right, well, if I get the vaccine and I can still get it, how is that keeping me safe? So all those unanswered questions, or the answers don't add up, at least not in the minds of the average person. So here's a hypothesis, okay? I'm not claiming.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Okay, maybe it's intentional. Maybe it's intentional insofar as there may be, now, I don't know who these people are, but why is it far-fetched to imagine that to accomplish certain kinds of social change, to transform aspects of our culture that are deeply ingrained, very difficult to move kind of thing, if things are allowed, this is where I think the word allowed as opposed to made might be the right word.
Mm-hmm.
If things are allowed intentionally to deteriorate to the point where there is chaos and it's so desperate and people become so freaked out, then suddenly now somebody can step forward and say, I'll fix this. Follow me. Here's what we need to do. And people might be so freaked out that they'll be willing to do anything just to get back to normal again.
Right.
Go ahead.
And you see people, it's a perfect design, if it is designed, because this virus, you can't see it. So everybody's afraid to smile at each other, to not wear a mask. I mean, even in the Bible, God breathed life into them. So it's like we're trying to stop breath. So I'm going off, but it just doesn't make sense. So thank you for that insight. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome, Angela. I don't know how much of an insight it is. It's more I muse from time to time, as chances are you and everybody else does. I just muse about what could be some of the background reasons that things are being allowed and what sometimes appear to be even caused. I mean, is it really necessary that the U.S. military purge its ranks of Navy SEALs and Marines and others because of a vaccination? Is that really necessary, especially at a time when we're threatened and menaced by Russia and China and Iran? I mean, is it smart to do that? It doesn't look smart. Is it smart to have a stand down all across the U.S. Navy by order of the Secretary of the Navy so that the entire Navy basically has to take days off so that they can do what? So that they can take sensitivity training for preferred gender pronouns. Is that smart? It doesn't look smart. So,
well, thank you for, I don't feel crazy. So thank you very much.
All right, Angela, thank you. Thanks for listening to my thought on that issue. That's all. It's just evaluating the things. And when something doesn't add up and people are telling you, this is a banana, this is a banana, this is a banana, but you can see it's an apple. And they get mad at you because you won't admit that you won't say that it's a banana. Because you can see it and you can say, this is an apple. Why do I have to call it a banana? It's an apple. This is a banana. Get in line. It just causes people to stop and say, wait a minute, what's going on here? Which leads to speculations and questions like that. And as I say, that may be entirely ludicrous. But the thought has crossed my mind. How about Joe in Chapel Hill, Tennessee? Hello, Joe.
Hey, Patrick. Hold on, put you on the stool. Can you hear me?
Yeah, let's be off speaker, though.
Okay, got you. I was
Thank you.
I got a quick question. I'm going to get off phone with you. I think a week or so ago, you talked about the scapula and the church teachings and other stuff. Could you elaborate a little more on that? Because I've been wearing it forever. You know, people sticking your tag back in your shirt behind you. So if you could go over that a little bit better for me, I'd appreciate it.
Happy to. So I think if I remember the comment I was referring to, the scapular is an ancient devotion, and I mean, the Carmelites will tell you that it goes back to not only to St. Simon Stock, but actually goes back to Isaiah in the Holy Bible. So there's a connection there, not necessarily in the form that we see the scapular today, but it's been a devotion for a very, very long time, and it's an approved devotion. The church smiles upon it, and countless Catholics have, myself included, and yourself included, have observed this custom of wearing the scapular, and most commonly the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, as a way to remind ourselves of our devotion to Our Lady. It's in a way similar to a wedding ring. The wedding ring doesn't make you married, but the wedding ring is a reminder to you that you are married, and it's a reminder to other people who see the ring on your finger that you're married and you're off the market, etc. So the scapular as a devotion, as a sacramental, it fulfills that kind of a function. That's what it's there for. It's not magical, it has no powers or properties of its own, but the promises that are attached to the wearing of the scapular in devotion include that Our Lady will be interceding in a particular way for those who honor her by wearing the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, as it was given to St. Simon Stock. Now, in and around this wonderful and important devotion, there have entered in some ideas that are not necessarily true, or they may indeed not be true, such as what's known as the Sabbatine privilege. And I grew up hearing about it. My parents grew up hearing about it. My parents' parents grew up hearing about it. But from my research, I've discovered that it's not actually rooted in fact. And that is the belief that Our Lady will take you out of purgatory the Saturday after you die, if you, in devotion, wear the brown scapular. What I discovered was that there is no basis, in fact, for Our Lady ever saying that. not to St. Simon Stock or to anyone else. In fact, as I looked a little bit further, I found that there were instances in which the church, the Pope, perhaps, had admonished the Carmelite order globally to, like, please don't tell people that, because that's not part of what the church permits by way of this devotion. So it's not in any way to cast an aspersion on the devotion itself, but rather to say that some notions that some people have been brought up to believe about that devotion may in fact not be true, that being the main one. So I'm assuming, Joe, that that's probably what you were referring to. Does that clarify it well enough?
It looks like he just dropped.
Yeah, it looks like he dropped. Okay, sorry about that, Joe. Let's go now to Alicia in San Antonio, or maybe it's Alicia. But either way, welcome.
Can you hear me? Hello?
I was just responding with a hello. You said hello to me, I said hello to you. That's all it is.
Yes. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I beg your pardon.
No problem.
A couple of days ago when Father was filling in for you, I think it was on Tuesday, there was a young lady that called in. She sounded like she was recently married and a few years into being a Catholic. She had converted. And she was looking for resources. And I don't know if this will help, but it's just a suggestion. She was looking for resources because you know how there's pre-Cana and you have all that, mm-hmm. you know, going on before you're married. She was asking, are there any resources for after when you're married? Well, it came to me shortly after, potentially two resources. Okay, so I say potentially. Cardinal Robert Sarah has written a book called Couples Awaken Your Love, and I just wanted to put that out there. I have mm-hmm. not read the book. I'm sure it's wonderful because I just think he's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then there's another potential resource for her. It's the alexanderhouse.org. Now, mm-hmm. I know they normally help troubled marriages, and they are both very devout Catholics, but I know they have some new resources online, and those may help, you know, facilitate this young lady is looking for.
Yeah. I know Greg and Julie Alexander. I've known them for many years. A wonderful couple. They do great work. And yes, I would certainly second your motion about the Alexander House. That's a great resource.
Yes. Yep. So those are my two. That was just for that young lady because I was thinking she's right. And I remember after going through pre-Cana and all that, there is really nothing. And maybe if we start, I don't know, somebody, myself, anybody, you know, any of these little things that can help keep our marriages strong right at the beginning, you know.
That's so true.
That was my reason for calling.
Well, thank you, Alicia. Nice to talk to you. And maybe I'm mispronouncing your name. But thank you for adding that. Yes, and if you run across the Alexanders anytime, tell them I said hello. It's nice to hear their names again. Well, we'll take a break and we'll come straight back to the phone calls. We have one line open and you can grab it. Two lines now. Grab it by calling 888-914-9149. The lines go quickly, so call now, 888-914-9149.
The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com.
We're back. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Sarah in Minnesota. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I'm a physician, and we've been really overwhelmed with patients in the last few months. And okay. We've felt kind of isolated from the rest of the country. It's like, don't you people realize we are in a complete crisis?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the news just sort of, everything seems to be hunky-dory because other big cities and big states aren't having the same problems that we have been having. Mm. And we can't transfer our patients. I work at Crick Lasses Hospital, and we've had to take care of patients in ways we've had to set up ICUs in our own tiny little hospitals. Mm-hmm. So it's been a complete crisis, and we've thought, where is the federal government here? We want to have a Navy ship come mm-hmm. to our city. We want Billy Graham's son to build a field hospital in our state, you know? Mm-hmm. But there was nothing. And now that it seems like it's hitting other places in the country that are popular places like the East and the West. Now it's this huge crisis. And I just, my feeling is that COVID doesn't just hit everywhere, big guns at the same time. It's going to go here and there and here and there. And it's, so I don't think that, I think for us in the Midwest, it's going to peter out. It's gotten so high that it is, I don't know that it's on its way down yet, but I think it's pretty near its peak. And so I just don't want, it's my feeling about it, is that I don't think that we need to panic that you think this is bad, now it's even going to get worse. I don't think it's going to get worse in the Twin Cities. And you're right, a lot of it is because staff are sick, and a lot of our people are getting it that are already vaccinated, but they're not, you know, they're not terribly sick. It's just that they can't go to work.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've had a chance. This is fascinating information. I appreciate you sharing it with me. If you, when you get a chance, maybe take a look at the data that was released by the New South Wales government in Australia. And I don't know if that's unique to them or if it's happening elsewhere, but their hospitals are being overwhelmed now by the vaccinated people who have COVID-19, as opposed, in terms of the numbers are higher for vaccinated people having to go to the hospital than unvaccinated people. And I don't know how to interpret that data. You're a physician, you'd probably be in a better position to do that. But are you seeing that kind of a phenomenon? Maybe not where you are, but are you hearing about that in other parts of the country? Or is what we're seeing there in New South Wales, is that unique, do you think?
I read that, but I would say this, absolutely unequivocally, the people who are seriously ill are unvaccinated. So even now, and I don't know, maybe Omicron is going to be so mild that, you know, it's just a mild cold for the unvaccinated, okay, no big deal. But the people that I work in the ER, so we see people who are coming into the hospital because they're sick. They're really sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And of those who are unvaccinated, of those that we have to admit, very few are vaccinated. There are some that are vaccinated and still get really sick enough to be admitted. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that they need oxygen. And, you know, to put in perspective too, Patrick, our nursing home, which is like associated with our hospital, nobody got COVID when COVID first came out. We kept it really shut down. Great. Okay. Nobody got COVID. Then everybody got vaccinated and in that nursing home. And then in October, COVID ran through the nursing home.
Okay.
And almost everybody in the nursing home got COVID.
I remember but those. And people were dying in the nursing homes, weren't they?
Not one of them in our nursing home.
Oh, they were in New York.
Even had to come to the hospital.
In New York, just to pop this in there, Sarah, in New York, that was a huge part of the problems, let's say, for former Governor Cuomo, was that they were intentionally hiding the numbers of deaths in the rest homes in the state of New York. Now, it may have been different where you are, but it was a big problem there.
Exactly, Patrick, but that was a different situation. That was Cuomo mandated that COVID patients who were recovering, they were still infectious,
right,
but they didn't need that. They didn't need the hospital. They went back to the nursing home, and the nursing home patients were not vaccinated. So that's what I'm trying to say is, our patients in our nursing home were all vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
When they got COVID in October, this last October, a few months ago. But because they were all vaccinated already, not one of them even had to come to the hospital, much less die.
So
the
what has
vaccination
changed,
is what hugely changed? Helpful.
Fair enough. I'm not arguing against that at all. I'm not arguing.
Right.
I know
you're not.
What
changed is...
Yeah, why are we seeing so many vaccinated people so susceptible to this? Is it because the Omicron variant is more transmissible or more virulent? Or It seems different this time around.
It is more transmissible. And I think one of the reasons, firstly, a lot of people actually are vaccinated. A lot of people, especially the high-risk people. And so, and then the other thing is that when I would say, and I think it's documented, but I would definitely say that the vaccinated people are more likely to spread COVID because when they get COVID, it's so mild that almost always they think they just had a sinus infection or allergies.
Then why are they going to the hospital in such numbers? I mean, if it's so mild, why on earth would you say, well, I'm going to go to the hospital for this? That doesn't seem to be playing out everywhere because you've got lots of people who are vaccinated who are going to the hospitals, which as I read the press reports in California and elsewhere, that's part of the mantra is that our healthcare system is being overwhelmed, and a goodly number of the people who are overwhelming our healthcare system are vaccinated people.
I don't know. I mean, that's not what we were seeing here. In terms of what I'm talking about, the difference is going to the doctor is different than having to be admitted to the hospital.
Right.
So you can overwhelm the system because you've got, like, we have more people that are coming into the clinic because they want to get tested. They have cold symptoms. They want to find out if they have COVID.
Yeah.
And so we're overwhelmed with that. We have to turn them away, and then they come to the ER, or they just go to, you know, Walmart and get tested. So yeah. That is a lot of people who they're sick, so they have to be home from work. In fact, I'm sick right now, but actually I tested negative. I was surprised for COVID, but still having to be home from work because they're sick. But in terms of, we are still very, I would say our hospital has had a third to a half of our patients, COVID patients, but it's one little tiny rural hospital.
So here's my question. I'll have to leave it at this, Sarah. And maybe this is just a rhetorical question. Isn't it true that maybe the thing to do at this point is just, let's just let everybody get it? And because the mortality rate is so low, and you know, what is it, 98.5%, and then of course certain groups it's going to be higher, but for the most part, the mortality rate is so low. If it's so transmissible, it's so dangerous, you can't even be near somebody who's got it, why not just let everybody get it and then get that herd immunity so that we don't have this continual problem of not only the vaxxed and the unvaxxed people at each other's throats, but also, you know, our healthcare system can start to get back to normal. Especially if, as you're saying, these symptoms are so mild, then maybe the thing to do is just allow this to run its course and become endemic, and then we move past it. Or is that too naive? Yeah, I'll give you the last word.
I agree that is just going to happen. But I still think that I am so glad, as sick as I am today or yesterday, and I didn't even have COVID. I thought I did. Maybe I didn't. It didn't show up. But I was so glad that I was vaccinated because it would have been a heck of a lot worse if I wasn't vaccinated. So I'm still recommending for people who have not had COVID, have you know, they don't have natural immunity, mm-hmm. and especially when they have some, you know, when they're not entirely healthy and extremely young, to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Because
you know what would be interesting? I have to press on, Sarah. What will be very interesting is when the day comes, and we're not at that day yet, because people are, and I don't mean you, the mainstream media, the leftist media, which is most of the media, they will not tolerate the question, did Bob Saget die because of complications from the vaccine? Or all of these super healthy young male soccer players, professional athletes, others who are very healthy in the prime of their life, not a single problem, not overweight, none of those problems, they get all vaxxed up and then they die suddenly. I look forward to the day when that question can be asked in a public forum and answered with science, because right now all you get is the death glare. And when we talk about the vaccinations and such, that's a part of the bigger picture. And I just hope that the country can get to the point where we can be honest in looking at some of that data without people freaking out. And again, not you, Sarah. You've been very interesting and very insightful. And even though you're not feeling well, I appreciate the fact that you took some time to share that with me. Thank you for that. Let's see. Let's go to Michael in Chicago. Good morning, Michael.
The way I usually hear it, Adam's sin affected the whole human race, whether they know it or not, or whether, or whether they want it or not. Even those who are baptized were still left with the effects of original sin, the inclination towards evil. In what sense, therefore, do we say that Christ is our new Adam, our Savior, our Redeemer, if he did not fully correct what Adam did? He did not return us mankind to before the fall. Mm-hmm. In what sense does Paul say that where sin abounded, grace abounded even more?
Right.
I can't figure this out.
Fair enough. That's a good theological question. So Christ saved us in the ways that really matter. And he saved us in an even better way, because being with God in heaven is better than being in this life without the beatific vision. So in a short answer, your question deserves a longer answer. I'm just without time to do that. But in short form, I would say, yes, Jesus is absolutely our Lord and Savior in the most perfect sense, because in God's plan, he saved us in the most important ways of all. He didn't save us from getting the common cold. He didn't save us from cancer or other problems. Those are still the effects of the fall. And I think that part of that is instructive on God's part, so that we will learn from these things and recognize that we do live in a fallen world. It's another reason to look to Jesus as our Savior, because ultimately he has victory over death and disease and all of those things. Now, again, your question requires a much better answer than that. So I would invite you, if you want to call any other time, please feel free, and I'd be happy to take that up again. Thank you. In the time that we've got...
Go ahead. Make my day.
I knew you were going to say that. Let's see if Harold in Port St. Lucie is there. Good morning, Harold.
Good morning, Patrick.
How can I be of service in the next 90 seconds?
Real quick. Job says, "Don't like flesh dieth and perished and decay. I shall see the Lord on the last day on this earth face to face and in my flesh." Whoa, and in my flesh. Can you explain that to me? Do we all get to see him face to face in our flesh on the last day on earth?
Yes. Yeah, so that's the general resurrection, when all of those human beings who've ever lived will receive their bodies back, both the damned and the blessed. So everybody will receive their bodies back, and the blessed will in their bodies see Christ the Judge face to face, and the damned will see in their bodies Christ the Judge face to face. The righteous will go to heaven and the damned will go to hell. So that passage is alluding to that general resurrection when we all receive our bodies back.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm surprised we could get it done so quickly, but that was a good question. And I appreciate it. And all of you who are holding, I apologize. I wasn't able to get you on the air, but call me tomorrow and we'll make it happen. And until tomorrow, I'll pray for you. Please pray for me. God bless you.